coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios at the City Deck Landing in Green Bay and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here. You know, we haven't really talked too much about the Whammies last night. Talked a little bit about them. What a collection of tremendous statewide talent, though. And Dennis Peters, congratulations, my friend. Male vocalist of the year.
I think they had, you and I were there pretty long from like 5 till 10, but it was still going on when we left. I think they recognize there's got to be 60, 70 different awards that they recognize. And, you know, everything, all the different genres of music, you know, the folk and R&B and jazz. But they also, some awards, which I gave out one, which is pretty cool. I guess I knew they were going to, you know, Johnny and I got the envelopes and then we kind of opened them up ahead of time, but I did guess. But what would you think? This was the People's Choice Award for the best venue, like we all go to things, and it was like Bastille Days, you know, down in Milwaukee. That is a lot of fun. Summerfest, Mile of Music. There were two others. There were five candidates for that, and pretty cool that the Mile of Music won for the best venue. And I think that says a lot. I mean, they've been doing that for like 12 years, but for them to win that, I mean, that's pretty tough competition. You get Summerfest.
It's the best.
It's the best.
And by the way, Eric Johnson, also the drummer of the year.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just fantastic.
And then we gave out another award for the best cover band. And, you know, we've all heard tons of cover bands. And I probably shouldn't have said this.
Well, had one there last night you loved.
Oh, you know who was there last night? A cover band was for Supertramp. And they're coming to the Meyer Theater. I don't think it's still like October, November, but yeah, I'm definitely going to that. They were good.
They were
too,
fantastic.
Right? I mean, they were good. I mean, that's a lot of music, but a lot of
harmony.
You know
another band I had seen before that I really enjoyed is Steam.
Yeah.
They kind of kicked up. Aren't they good?
They did that Steely Dan song,
right.
And I was like, man, that piano kicked in.
Yes.
Yeah.
They were fantastic.
Our friend Len Nelson up on stage with...
He was drumming, right?
No, he was
doing a little percussion.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And they kind of...
If they do the Meyer again, I'm going.
And they kind of kicked it off.
Right.
So you kind of want to get something strong, and I thought they were... Well, I think every band they had up there was great. The glam band played. It was good. But anyways, for the best cover band, and there's a lot of them out there, and they're extremely popular, but... the winner of that was the glam band, which is pretty cool. I mean, they're very, very popular, but, nice to take home some hardware. And, you know, Dennis got the male vocalist. Was that the one?
Yeah.
Did he get male vocalist of the year?
It's phenomenal.
Glam band.
Eric getting drummer of the year.
Right.
Yeah. No,
so
I think it's amazing. I mean, you want to talk about, and the thing is, it wasn't a Green Bay thing. I mean, it was Milwaukee,
statewide.
Madison.
It's statewide.
Everywhere from all over.
And then the nominees were statewide. Some of them, you know, I can be honest with you, some of the venues, like I didn't hear about. I mean, but there were people...
Yeah.
There, I mean, I'm sure the hotels were packed last night. And the reason why is it's on a Sunday? It's because it's the only night they have off. I mean, these guys work on Fridays and Saturdays because they're very, very popular bands.
Yeah.
But I want to...
Great venue for it, though.
Oh, yeah. Epic is great. I do want to say one other thing, though, John. This is the first year that... I think it was the first year, but the proceeds go to scholarships to help young up-and-coming musicians to, you know, continue that. And... I just think it's great that we talked a little bit about when we have musicians on here, we ask them, you know, who's influential in your life. And you just, somebody's got to believe in you if you're going to be really, really good. Or if you're going to, I shouldn't say really, really good. You can be really good. But to get out and show your music out in public, you're going to need someone to say, look, you've got what it takes.
No
and
question.
I think that's great that these musicians give so much back financially and, you know, emotionally.
I've never known a group, in all the groups we work with, I don't think we've dealt with a group that is more and you know, you think, well, they're in music, they got a big head or maybe ego.
Right.
These people are the most genuine in helping others and doing whatever. But you know what? So many of them, it's crazy how many of them say, oh, I played with them for a year.
Man.
It's so interworking, intertwined, the music scene in Wisconsin.
You say somebody's name and I played with
him
and that.
Yeah. No, it was cool. If anybody ever has a chance, go on down there. We got this one. Talk about that one there, Todd.
Well, you guys talked with Rocker last night.
Right.
Rocker is one of the guys and one of the hosts of Max Inc. Radio down from the Madison studio, but it's actually a show that you hear right here on Saturday and Sunday nights on WGBW and WISS, all Wisconsin artists. And they won Media of the Year podcast last night at the Wisconsin Area Music Industry Awards. And here's the sad part. Rocker was backstage, so he didn't even know they won. He came down and sat next to me. I'm like, good job, man, right? And
no!
He had no idea.
Yeah.
Oh.
They did tremendous work.
Yeah.
Yeah, congratulations,
but with
Rocker.
He's in town. I'm going to try and get him on the phone.
Oh, awesome. Oh,
okay. But with that many people, that many awards, it does get a little chaotic, and I can see him going into the green room, getting something to drink, and then missing his award. It just, there wasn't a complete agenda with time, but it wasn't.
Yeah,
but nobody kept their time. That's probably why they don't do it. You get up there, and anyway, I'm so glad he won because his podcast.
Okay, how about this guy we met? How about this guy we met that was 13 years old when he wrote a symphony
for Milwaukee
for Carnegie Hall, and it was performed at Carnegie Hall.
It was, but he wrote the symphony at 13 years old for the Milwaukee Symphony.
Okay,
and it got performed. You know, obviously, they performed it. And it's been performed at Carnegie Hall, and he's not 13. How old is he now?
Mid 70s, late 70s.
Yeah, and he presented an award, which is great. But the talent, you know, 13 years old to write a symphony. I mean, that's
unbelievable. That's like savantish,
right?
Like he's just different from everybody. Yeah. Like this girl, I just saw this girl, 17 years old, graduated from med school. 17.
Well, Tina Sauerhammer did that.
At 17?
Yeah. Not med school. Yeah, she did. Look, Tina Sauerhammer was way. Rocker's on the phone, man. Let's talk to him.
All right. Rocker!
What's happening, guys?
How you doing,
Rocker,
brother?
Rocker, you're up.
Yeah, man. It was a late night, but... stayed in the Aloft Hotel here in Green Bay, so I got a good night's sleep.
Yeah, it was close enough. Hey, congratulations again. I mean, that's so awesome that your podcast won the best podcast and got a lot of competition.
Wow. It's an incredible honor, and there is so many podcasters. I even met at the show last night, and it's a real honor to win that for the whole state of Wisconsin with Whammy and, you know, Jimmy Kay, Terry Barr, Civic Media, really got to thank them. It was a really great award.
Yeah, they're behind you in that. Tell our listeners a little bit more about your podcast. When it's on, and that you actually have live music, which I think is so cool.
Well, I guess to me, the podcast part is after our live radio show, right? So Max Inc. Radio is a live local music radio show that happens on Saturday and Sunday nights from 6 p.m. till midnight. And then some repeats in other shows. So what it is, it's very variety. From 6 to 9 o'clock, we're doing interviews. We're playing local original music. And at 9 o'clock, we have a band every week that we feature in Live in the Lair, we call it. And we bring a band in. They play in our studio. We interview them throughout the hour and have them play about 6 songs. And then after have Max Inc. After Hours till midnight. Max Inc. Americana, and then it turns into Sunday is Max Inc. Sunday. So we do 24 hours of programming throughout the whole weekend exclusively for local Wisconsin music.
That's incredible.
And I bet besides the listeners listening to the music, you can, I'm not saying dig deep, but we find out a little bit more about the performers.
That's right. I mean, during the Live in the Lair segments, we bring an artist in there and we can really get to know them and ask them more than just the who, what, why, when, where questions. And, you know, here's some great stories, lots of fun, lots of laughs, and incredible performances. In fact, you can go to the Civic Media website at civicmedia.us and you can still listen to all the Live in the Lairs. They're all up there on podcast.
Now, let me ask you this. We were talking about this, even though it was a whole statewide thing. You got people from literally every corner of the state there. But somehow everybody sort of knew somebody that played with this band and that. Oh, you know, I played with them. Isn't it incredible?
We were the outsiders.
And the reason I'm saying this is just from being in the green room and listening to people making those connections.
Yes. I mean, that's one of the best things about this is a networking event. But also, you know, it's kind of interesting with musicians, right? Because it's hard for us to get out to see other bands because many of those times we're playing ourselves.
Right.
And so, you know, sometimes it's really like festivals backstage and these kind of events – all of a sudden all the musicians are like, well, I don't have a gig tonight. I'm here with all these other guys. Now we can talk. But it's true. You know, it's a very small, close-knit circle. I mean, people really, the musicians know each other. So, yeah, you get together at an event like this, and it's a lot of fun talking to a lot of people you maybe haven't seen in a while.
It was fun just eavesdropping.
Right.
I mean, seriously.
And you guys, like Johnny said, you sure get along. And I just want to, again, just say, I think it's neat that the proceeds went to scholarships for younger musicians that are coming up in your industry.
Well, you know, one of the interesting things about the scholarships in Whammy is that was in their original charter that they were to give away scholarships. And so now they're nearly 42 years old, and they have just started to finally kind of do that. I mean, I think that starting the scholarship process is definitely, you know, a lot of work, and it took a lot of years. But recently, in the last year or two, they've started to give away these scholarships. And, you know, putting instruments and lessons in the hands of children and young people, I mean, it can only help us. One interesting thing that I think when we are interviewing people and the musicians, I always ask the musician, hey, how did you get your start? How did you get started in music? And then after I hear how they get started, I see, what role did your parents play?
That's cool.
And, you know, parents, Whammy, these organizations, when children are starting in music and getting involved in music, I think that we produce better mankind.
Isn't that is true, because they really care and they want to kind of talk about, like, the guy that won that song. It's a lot of personal experiences that they convey to the community about what's going on. And I just think...
Well, I think one of the cool things, too, Jim, and I never played an instrument or wasn't in, you know, competition, but the discipline you have to from that, or you will fail if you don't have that discipline. Isn't that true, Rocker?
Well, you know, it depends on how far you want to go. But, you know, I think it's important to realize that, you know, there's all levels of musicianship. And, you know, down in Madison and in the country here, we have a thing called Girls Rock Camp. And Girls Rock Camp is where they take younger girls up to 13 and they teach them how to play an instrument, you know, get them on an instrument, put them in a band, have them write a song, and then go perform all within like 1 week.
Hey, Rocker, right? We got to send in a quick break. Can you pick that up as soon as we're back? We'll be back in a minute.
One
you
minute.
Bet. Okay.
Right, hang on.
Rocker on the phone. Back after this.
You're crazy. You say you want to go for a spin. The party's just begun, we'll let you in. You drive us wild, we'll drive you crazy. You keep on shouting, you keep on shouting.
Mind on the Mayor here. We've got Jackie coming up in a little bit talking about donors, and that's going to be a very, very important segment. But right now, we got Rocker on the phone. Hey, Rocker, give us a little bit about your background, because you've got the quintessential, your name fits you perfect. Look like a rocker.
So I was just going to say that. For our listeners, if you're envisioning this guy who's been in rock and roll for,
years,
30, 40, 30 years, 40 years.
Well, it's true. I have been in rock and roll for a long time. My mom, I call her Mama Rocker. She, when I grew up, she was the head bartender at a local music venue, actually, in Waukesha called Sunset Bowl. And so I sort of grew up backstage with all these bands like Bad Boy and Ruby Star and Moxie Rocks during the 70s and 80s. And, you know, I just, I loved music. I played viola when I was a kid in school.
Really?
And graduated to drums in college. And when I went to college in Madison, you know, I started joining bands, and I loved the music scene there. It was so vibrant.
Yeah.
I had to stay. And it just, it kept going, played in bands until in the mid-90s, I started a music magazine called Maximum Inc. Music Magazine, and that was delivered statewide throughout the state of Wisconsin for 27 years.
Wow.
Until the pandemic and the lockdown sort of took that down.
Yeah.
And then we also moved into radio in about 2012 with Max Inc. Radio, which was an internet radio station to start off with. And then when Michael Crute started kind of Devil Radio just before Civic Media started, he said, hey, I've got this, you know, talk news station. Would you like to be the music on the weekend? So all of a sudden it was like local music. We're the only music on the station and it's local. And it was really hard to believe that that was actually happening. Now we're coming up on our 5-year anniversary. Of course, we know that Civic Media kind of came into the fold and really expanded the network, which allowed Max Inc. Radio to go statewide with, you know, Wisconsin music. So, you know, I've been involved in bands, and in fact, my band Iron Plow, we play around a lot. We'll be playing at Summerfest coming up and Broadfest and, you know, a lot of different stuff. So I really stay involved with music. My passion is music. I love being a platform for local musicians to bring their music to people in Wisconsin so that, you know, if they hear music, if they hear a band, they're like, wow, you know, I've heard that band. I'm going to go see them. I heard you talking about the Supertramp band. Now, Dave Adler, who is the singer and the keyboard player, you know, he plays with Steely Dan, Steely Dan tribute band down in Madison. Mm-hmm. But the interesting thing you said was, now that you saw them once, you heard their music, you're going to go see them live.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that is the true power of radio for local music.
Right. Wow. Yeah, you definitely know what you're talking about. And you picked
and
up hardware.
You're such an advocate.
Right. You picked up hardware last night for being the best podcast.
Although I heard you missed your slot.
Yeah. What are you doing? Sitting in the green room drinking?
Well, you know, those podcast type awards, radio station media, they never like bring you up, right, to receive the award. I've gotten a few whammies and mamas and things. And it seems like those kind of things, magazines, you know, you never talk. But then I had to give away an award. And so they got me in front of the microphone, and then I could accept my award and give a little thanks out there in front of the crowd. So that was a lot of fun.
Cool. Hey, tell us a little bit more about Iron Plow. You guys, I mean, playing at Summerfest is no small feat to get in there. I think a lot of musicians would love to play at Summerfest. And are you playing this year?
Yes. June 28th, we'll be at the Whammy stage. And so Whammy has come up with a stage at Summerfest, and it's really a neat stage. It's very intimate. It's kind of like a little lounge inside a building, so there's like shade.
Oh, cool.
I, it's hard to say how this building, it faces the lake, and the bottom of it is open to the lake. So they put the bands, like, right, you're playing right out to the lake. It's a beautiful place. It's a beautiful scene. And Iron Plow, we had a lot of fun playing there last year, so they're bringing us back this year. We're playing at 6 p.m., so we got a good time slot. We're going to have a lot of fun. We're a three-piece hard rock, kind of 70s hard rock, all original band.
I got to ask you this. Who are your inspirational type of people in the music world growing up?
Well, you know, my mom was a great, you know, she loved the 60s music. So I grew up on a lot of Janis Joplin and, you know, blues and rock. But then, you know, when I started getting into rock, it was, you know, from Led Zeppelin to Rush to, you know, Genesis and prog bands. And then I ended up with Tool. And, you know, I really like so many bands. It's just really incredible. I have just a giant library of music. So it's hard to say who are my influences, but of course the drummer for Tool, he's my favorite.
Nice.
And I think that's cool that you recognize your mom. I mean, she played a big role in you pursuing music.
Well, you know, I book a festival. I do all the music programming for a festival for the last 22 years in Madison called Atwood Fest. And, you know, 2 days, three stages, 30 bands. It's, you know, 35,000 people a day. And my mother started out 20-some years ago cooking all the food for the bands backstage. Wow. So she got known as Mama Rocker. And now our backstage hospitality for the bands is called Mama Rocker's Band Bistro.
Nice.
And wow. So she's like one of the favorite people for all the bands. You think I know a lot of people? My mom knows way more.
Wow. What did you think, Rocker? So this is a quest that Jim has. He wants to open up a Whammy Hall of Fame, like a brick and mortar type place instead of just online. What do you think of that?
Well, you know, there was actually talk of that kind of thing many years ago. I was on the board of directors of Whammy back in 2002 through 2004. And, you know, there was some talk about that back then, and the Mama Awards down in Madison were talking about a local music museum.
Right.
And so that, I think, would just be incredible. I mean, we have so many musicians who really made it pretty big that maybe you don't even know of, that it would be perfect to go in there.
I think that's
a great idea.
And Rocker, we would like that to be in Green Bay, because you did host the Whammies here, you know, at Epic. There's, and I think like Cleveland, you've been down to that Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And I just think to have some memorabilia, the glam band wig, you know, I mean, these guys can play for many, many years, but when they retire and you get inducted into that Bricks and Mortar Hall of Fame, that could be pretty cool for your industry. And it'd be awesome for the city. I mean, we have great museums here now. We got the Car Museum, Johnny, we're looking at a Veterans Museum. Of course, we have the Neville. But I just think people like museums because you learn something, and you know, like the Country Music Hall of Fame in Nashville, we wouldn't build something that big, but those are just cool places to go because there's so much you can learn. You can go spend 2-3 hours there, and we'd like to do something like that and be a partner with Whammy.
That would be awesome, and I would wholeheartedly support that. Sounds great.
Awesome. Well, Rocker, listen, I had a great time with you last
night. Yeah, it was fun.
Plug your radio show that we carry it one more time, please. It sounds phenomenal.
Max Inc. Radio. It's Saturday and Sunday nights from 6 p.m. to midnight, and you can listen to interviews, local music, lots of laughs, Terry Barr, Jimmy Kay, and me. We have a great time.
Phenomenal. Great seeing you last night, yeah. Rocker. Thanks for helping show us the ropes a little bit around.
Yeah, we were a little lost.
Yeah, we're a little lost. I appreciated your help very much.
Because everybody knows you.
Yeah, whenever we needed something, it's like, where's Rocker?
Yeah, and congrats on picking up some hardware too last
That's
night.
Great,
you deserve
buddy.
That. And we'll come in here, Iron Plow, Summerfest, and yeah, other places in Madison.
Oh, my all-time favorite song. Waiting for
Thanks, guys.
All right,
Rocker, Rocker, are you still there?
No.
Oh, I was going to ask.
Oh, yes.
Do I sound a little bit like Kris Kristofferson?
Jeez, don't.
Just before rain.
Don't encourage him, Rocker.
All
Rocker.
The way to New Orleans.
Rocker, do not encourage him.
I pulled my bandana. Tell me, Rocker, yes or no?
Awesome. It's
yes.
All. Right, it's Thanks, he said no.
All right, bye.
Take Mino and the Mayor with you anywhere. Download the Civic Media app today from the Apple Store or Google Play Store. And text the studio directly, all from the Civic Media app. Download it today. Now, once again, here's Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here on a rainy Monday morning. Very special guest right now, and totally switching gears, Jackie Pache. And your story is truly remarkable. And we've been friends for a long time. Tell Jim the first time we met.
Oh, we met at a biker party. Go figure.
Yeah, right? What are the odds?
What are the odds? And I partied with John all day, and then I went to bed finally, and I woke up to find John and a whole bunch of guys with their heads in ice bins where the beer had been the night before. Yeah they
looking
were dunking,
for a little more.
Looking for... Diving for beer.
Wow.
Trying to revive.
Yeah, that's funny how she said, I partied with John and then all day. Usually it's at night, you know, we met at 7, 8 at night, but all day.
Well, that was your big Satan's Outcast party.
Yeah, it was. Oh, right. It was our spring or summer party.
And it was like 100 degrees.
Yep.
Just out in the middle of a field.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's sleeping in tents and stuff. I don't even know where I slept. I have no idea.
I don't think you did.
I don't think I did. I think I stayed up all night. Yes.
So how did you go from that to what you're doing now, which is so admirable?
Tell your story, Jackie.
Of Josh?
Yeah.
Oh, well, Josh, I think a lot of people remember it was quite a big story in Appleton.
It's her son she's talking about, Josh.
Yeah. And, you know, he was out with friends and unfortunately got shot outside in the Luna Lounge. So that was quite a shock. Josh was a really good guy.
Great athlete.
Great athlete. You know, loved
good looking kid. I mean, just fun.
He was just a good guy.
Yeah.
So it was quite a shock for anybody that knew Josh. And, you know, of course, a major crime like that in Appleton 10 years ago was a big deal. So.
Well, that got plenty of coverage, too.
Yeah, it was kind of a circus for a while.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you guys, despite your grief and everything, in fact, right off the bat, you decided.
Made some tough decisions.
Horrific, horrific thing that happened. How can we get anything positive out of this? And what you guys did is amazing.
Well, you know, Josh, I remember when I took him to get his license when he was 16, and they ask you that question, do you want to become a registered donor? And I remember distinctly Josh looking at me and going, well, that's a no-brainer. Why wouldn't somebody do that? And that's the kind of person he was, right? You know, I mean, he didn't think twice about it. And so, you know, when they said he was brain dead, the decision was made that he would become a donor. And it's funny how your life shifts. So we were grieving Josh in the hospital, and the weather was horrible. He died December 7th, and there was an ice storm. And I remember that shift of thinking, you know what, we kind of started praying about the transplant folks coming from Madison to do the harvesting, and also the recipients. You know, we didn't know where they were coming from. They had to get to Madison within a couple hours, and you're in the middle of this ice storm.
Right. So, I mean, when they make that call, it's like, go, red alert.
You got 2 hours.
Yeah.
That's it. So.
On both sides. I mean, there's another person, too, that needs to, the recipient, which, I mean, it's quite, I don't use the word operation, but it's quite an event to donate your, and we know what we're doing, or I should say the state knows what they're doing. So that's got to be unbelievably emotional for a mom.
It was this moment of calm. It was almost like,
that's cool.
I remember sitting with Josh in the hospital room all by myself, and it was quite dark. They keep the rooms very, very dark, and he's hooked up to all these machines, and he had a tattoo of a koi on his arm that I affectionately called the carp. And I remember rubbing his carp and going, you know, it's time to go. And I remember seeing a little light, and it went to the corner of the room, and he was gone. And that was okay, because I told him it was okay. Mm-hmm. But then from that point forward, it wasn't up to me anymore, right? It was up to the transplant team. So when they finally arrived, it was quite emotional.
I remember being at your house when you guys got a locket in the mail. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Can you explain that? That was emotional.
Yeah. I had some ashes sent to California, I believe, and I had a pennant made of Josh's ashes. And it was kind of crazy because they called me up. I had chosen the color green for this piece. And I remember them calling me up and going, you know, I think we want to refire it. It's got some reds and it's got some blues. It's got these crazy colors. Do you want us to do it? And I just thought, you know what? Those are all Josh's tattoos, because he loved tattoos.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. How many different organs did they harvest, Jackie?
He was able to save 7 with organs.
7 people.
7 people.
7 lives.
Wow.
Yep. And
you got to feel good about that every day.
Oh, you know what? And we're really blessed because as a donor family, we were able to meet some people. So we are really good friends with our heart recipient. We just saw him a couple weeks ago. We're really good friends with the lung recipient. He's doing great.
He was such a healthy guy. Josh was. I mean, my goodness. He was like, I mean, you should see the way this guy was built. I mean, just the most in shape person you ever find, wasn't he, though?
Yeah. He loved the gym.
Yeah.
Loved it. Loved to play football. And then when he got hurt, he turned to the gym and he started competitive bodybuilding. So he was living quite a healthy life.
So not only did you allow 7 people to, you know, continue to live here on Earth, but you're an advocate for this now. Is that what you're?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think that sometimes people kind of step back and they get concerned that their loved one is, they have all these horrible thoughts of what would happen if they become a donor. And it's not that way. The University of Wisconsin is amazing with their donor program. I can't say enough about American Tissue Services Foundation. They provided me with Josh's tissue. I needed a back surgery.
Yeah, tell that story a little bit. This is
part of your son, and I think that's cool.
Go ahead and tell that one if you mind, Jack.
Yeah, so we were at a flag raising with the heart recipient, Benny, and there were the press there, and we had some, you know, a little activity afterwards. And there was this woman who was kind of in the corner, kind of the wallflower, right? So a friend of mine, who is very attuned to that, went over and introduced herself and brought her over. And I said, hey, what are the odds of me getting some of Josh's tissue for a back surgery? And she, in all seriousness, said, I'll see what I can do. And 8 months later, I had his tissue.
Is that amazing?
Yeah.
That's incredible. I mean, he's still living inside of you in that way. Isn't that amazing?
He is. My back feels great. I'm wonderful. So I consider myself one of the people that Josh saved, too.
Incredible. Jackie, why do people not? Why would you not be a donor? I think we're both. Yeah. Why not?
I don't know. You know, some people really do have those really bad connotations about, you know, if I donate my eyes, oh my gosh, or my whole eye is that going to be gone? And it's not. It's just a lens that's going to be gone. And I've got to tell you, UW transplant team is amazing, amazing people. They sat with me beforehand. They wanted to hear Josh's story. They wanted to see pictures of him. They wanted to know his favorite songs so they could play that in the operating room.
Wow.
Yeah,
I
they
got goosebumps over does, that one.
We both have,
like Shirley just did.
We both have family in the funeral business, and that is, it's not as scary as people think, or as, I've been through that, I shouldn't say that. But I mean, they really do comfort you as a grieving parent. And I just think it's so cool that you've met people who are living because of Josh.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really cool.
We're really lucky. Even there was a little girl, she was 18 months old, who was saved by Josh. They split his liver in two, and she was able to receive it. So here's this 25-year-old kid with, you know, a huge liver probably, and they split it in half and gave it to this little girl.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, you're wondering, and Johnny just said, why don't more people give? I mean, you're obviously very comfortable with that decision.
Oh, yes.
But I'm wondering if maybe we should hear from the recipients, too. I don't know. I guess that's a good question. I think there are some horror stories out there about, you know, and some people might think that then you won't have it in heaven. I don't know what people think, and that's not my thing. But I think it's great that you've done that. And I think even the bigger piece is that you're an advocate for it.
Yes. Yeah. We've seen the beauty of it. And it is consoling. It was very consoling for me from my last memory of Josh seeing him was that he was going to give to others. Mm-hmm. That he was, so you take this horrible murder, right? Horrible situation, and we turned it into good. And truly, that donation program saved me because there was good at the end.
And who knows, you talk about right. seven. But those people probably get married. They'll have kids. I mean, it's that line could go on and on and on and on and on of how many people are in this world. You know what I mean? Because of Josh. Amanda, you had a question?
So, Jim, you were just saying you want to hear from a recipient. I'm not a recipient, but my husband had a bilateral lung transplant.
Wow.
And he had cystic fibrosis. His brother also has cystic fibrosis and a bilateral lung transplant. And I can say with absolute 100% certainty that watching him run for the first time after a transplant like that, I cried.
I bet.
I was watching him run with our dog, and he didn't stop to hack. He didn't have to, like, sit there for 10 minutes and try to breathe. Like, it is the most beautiful thing. So I can say with 100% certainty that the people who receive it, we are so unbelievably thankful. And even though my husband did pass, it'll be 10 years at the end of the month, we are still thankful. We got to see him for so many years with just normal function.
Phenomenal.
Awesome.
Phenomenal.
So
great. Thanks for sharing that.
100%. Yeah. People who receive it, we will never forget it.
Yeah.
That's great, Amanda. I could just even imagine Josh's lungs, how strong they were. My God.
Yeah. And it's crazy because the lung recipient is an older gentleman.
Okay.
And he got to walk his daughter down the aisle. He got to see another grandbaby come into the world. He's just doing fantastic. He's a wonderful man. And we consider those folks family.
I bet.
Right.
Well, they almost are. I mean, they really are.
Yeah. They kind of are. Yeah.
Yeah.
So people who are hesitant, I'm wondering, what if you have any words of wisdom? I mean, you obviously, you're very content, you're very comfortable.
Talking about it,
with the loss of a son, which some people never get over. I mean, if people are thinking about it, or
you can still lose your person, right? So I still grieve Josh. I mean, I still have good days and bad days. And but the beauty of donation and to see people thrive and to hear those stories, it's just, I wish people would really sign up for this. I mean, it's just life-saving. You have to meet these recipients to truly understand, just like you said, it's an overwhelming sense of contentment.
Absolutely.
You know?
You think there's anything I have that anybody would want?
No.
Be honest, Jackie. I got an artificial hip.
I was going to say, we could recycle that.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe an Achilles heel or something. I don't know.
your shoes, Johnny. Your wife bought you some nice shoes.
Yeah.
So.
Well, Jackie, I just want to say thank you for sharing this story. And I was there kind of from the beginning with you guys when this all happened. And just following what you guys have done to make this your quest of really making sure that Josh didn't live his life in vain in any way, shape, or form. And there's numerous people out there that got the gift of life because of him. And that's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and it's just wonderful that you talk about it and you advocate for it so well.
And everybody can sign up on the National Registry, donatelife.net. We encourage people to do that. You know, make your wishes known so your family doesn't have to make those decisions at a time where it's tender.
It's not enough to just have it on your driver's license, right?
You can, in Wisconsin, you can have it on your driver's license,
right.
But if you pass away in another state
area. Yeah, okay.
Yep, donatelife.net is a place to register and you'll be on the National Registry.
All right.
So donatelife.net.
Mm-hmm.
That's fantastic.
And there are people waiting.
Oh, there's tons of people waiting. I mean, thousands and thousands of people.
And many of them don't get what they're looking for. I mean, nubs clean and there's some other ways.
Right.
We had a couple of friends that were on the wait list that didn't make it. So, yeah.
Yeah. And consider becoming a living donor. You can be a living donor. You've got two kidneys.
Oh, I didn't think of that.
No, a friend of mine did that. I went down to see him at Mayo. He donated a kidney. And it was, I talked to him. He just loves it. So glad he did it. He knows the recipient and they get together every year on the anniversary. It's just very cool stuff. So, yeah.
Jackie Pichet, thank you so very much.
Yeah, thanks for sharing
and
it, Jackie.
You.
All the honor in the world for what you and Big Dave have been doing for this, and you're saving lives yourselves.
Oh, thanks, John.
Thank you, Jackie. We'll be back after this.
Long as I got your love, you know that I'll never leave. When I wanted you to share my life, no doubt in my mind, and it's been you, woman, right down the line. Away all those crazy dreams, I put them all behind, and it was you, woman, right down the line.
Hey, welcome back, Mino and the Mayor. Wow, that's heartfelt, huh, from Jackie.
Yeah.
And again, I just want to be an advocate for it. Why not donate? Why not get yourself on the list? And I would if I had anything that was worth
salvaging. Well, that's just it. So, somebody healthy would be who they're looking for, John. But still, you could just do that to make yourself feel good. But my guess is you're going to go in the box just the way you are. So.
Jeez.
Wow.
Todd. Wow. Let's just cut right to the chase there.
I don't know. Right. No, Jimmy. Better yet, draw it out a little bit.
Yeah, draw it out a little bit. Yeah. Thanks, Jimmy. Wow. Okay, then. By the way, it was segment brought to you by Pella. We're talking about that. You've got Pella windows in your house.
Love them.
And they're phenomenal, aren't they?
You know, and we, now that it's, windows open and just, I've had houses in the past where the windows didn't always open as easy as I wanted them to, or cleaning them was difficult. And
they'd swell and you couldn't get them open.
Right.
And
but now, Pella, we just, in that ad that you talked about earlier, how the finishes, and I think, you don't want just white, you know what I mean? Or just, and they will do whatever
the big
you
box
want.
Store ones that are just pretty much don't have much choice, much option.
And then the other thing that we don't mention enough about Pella is just the installation, which is, it's kind of like, cooking fish, right? It's really 90% preparation, 10% that's what they say about fish. It's hard to cook that stuff.
You're right. I just never heard that analogy.
How is it
before.
Hard to cook fish?
Well, fish.
You take a piece of salmon.
No, it's
you
not.
You put it in tin foil.
No.
You put some butter and some lemon on it, some salt.
What if
and
you overcook it? What if you undercook it?
You don't. You know what? You open it up and you take your fork and you can flake it. And by how it flakes determines how well it's done.
Okay.
It's the easiest thing in the world. Fish is the easiest thing in the world to cook.
No.
Yeah.
I don't agree with that at all. But anyway, bad analogy, but I'm just saying that.
Worst analogy ever.
No, I think a lot of people.
Worst
you talk to
ever,
a chef.
It's interesting.
He's got to play both
kinda
of
like
us.
Kind of like cooking fish. Something your grandpa would say. Kind of like cooking fish.
How did we get from that to cooking fish?
Because I think.
From windows and doors to cooking fish.
My point on that is the installation is equally or more importantly than the product.
Yeah.
And I think Pella gives both. But the installation of windows, you can buy a good window, and if you have someone who, let's say you, doesn't really know, you know how to build birdhouses, but do you know how to install a window? A little tricky. So you want to get the right people to do that. That was my point, John.
All right.
So, and they did our windows, and we have had no, you don't hear any of that.
Okay, let me ask you about something else.
Coming through.
Have you made a final decision on
what?
Your house?
Yes.
Go
I'm
ahead.
Going to share that. Well, I don't have it done. I signed the thing on Saturday.
Okay.
I think So.
Spread the word, people.
I just think you guys who are listening or everyone in Greater Green Bay, we got this NFL draft, and you're going to be hearing about this a lot. And rightfully so. It's the biggest event Green Bay's ever hosted. It might be the biggest event we ever host. I think there was some chatter bringing the Pope in at one time. But short of that, I mean, this is going to be huge. And we've had the mayor on. We've had Aaron Popke, of course, who is kind of in charge of this from the Packers standpoint, although it's an NFL event. But as I was telling Johnny and that everyone should make extra money that week. All of us should. And whether you want to bartend or you want to set up or take down or Uber drive or direct parking, there's just going to be a lot of opportunities, and we could all have even a better Christmas in 2025 if we take advantage of this, make an extra $2,000-$3,000 that week. Now, I say average, but we signed a letter of intent, is that what it's called, to rent our house out for the week. And it's serious money. It just is. And the guy, he's a turnkey operator, but, you know, he vets the people. The earlier the better, because you could get a host family of, a family of one of the draftees. Some of the corporate people are coming in. They come in every year. And
that would be fun to have a family of
wouldn't that
draftees.
Be cool?
Yeah.
Right.
I didn't think of that.
Sign something for
that
you.
That would be phenomenal.
So, and this guy's, anyway, so that's what we're doing. They're coming over on the 28th, 27th, 28th, to take photos of the house. And then they put it on a website. And we're excited about that. I mean, it's going to be an extra $20,000 we're going to pick up. And, for weddings or something, it's nice to have that dry powder.
Okay, good for
you. So, anyway, I talked to Todd this week in a little bit, but, I think for our listeners, maybe on a monthly or every other month, just update them on what's going on. Because you and I are going to make a little money on that.
Maybe.
And that Upper Village.
Yeah.
Build that little, and people are going to come from all over the country.
Yeah. And they'll be like, what's a pasty? What's a kudigi?
Right.
What's a,
You guys got to go to Upper Village.
Yeah.
And so they'll come and they'll buy the pasties and the kudigi.
I'm also thinking about selling birdhouses.
They're not going to take them
back. Listen to me, John.
God, they're not going to take them back. And you're not going to ship them. They're going to get damaged, and they're going to call you back and say, it was damaged. And okay. I don't want to be part of the birdhouse thing, but go ahead. What are you
they're
thinking?
All going to be replicas of UP outhouses.
Yeah, see.
All the birdhouses. What? What's wrong with that?
Okay, how many are you going to make? 8?
A lot.
Okay.
Why?
Would you buy that? I mean, would, but.
I would.
So some guy's coming in from San Diego.
Yes.
Seattle.
Yes.
And he's here to have a really good time.
Yes.
So he's going to eat, drink, and be merry, and hopefully his guy will be drafted in the first or second round.
Yeah.
So he's going to buy things. It's experience.
Let me ask you this. When you go to San Diego, do you buy things?
Not a birdhouse that looks like an outhouse.
You'd buy something there probably, like a seashell or something.
Yeah,
a
seashell.
To commemorate your time there.
So I think
this would be to commemorate the time. He'd take it to his office.
No.
He'd be like, guys, look at this. You know what this is? This is a UP birdhouse from Upper Peninsula, Michigan, Barnwood.
They're going to be like,
they used to have. The outhouses were big up there.
And the people would just say, why would you? What does that have to do with the
NFL draft?
Because
it's part of their culture. It's part of their culture.
No,
to commemorate and to remember being there.
Cheese scarves.
No.
Yeah, that's what people are going to buy. They're going to buy something that has Green Bay in it. Or I don't know about. Hey, look, I'm not investing in that.
Pullback would love John's thighs for a donation.
Anyway, we got some time to think about it, but not too much time. We got to put the business plan together and we got to raise a little capital.
I know.
Hours we're going to be there. It's going to be fun, though. I mean, think about ways you can make a little bit of money here. If you make something, if there's going to be opportunities to vend things.
Quick poll. Can I do a quick poll? How much time we got, Todd?
30 seconds.
30 seconds. Quick poll.
Okay.
My birdhouse is yes or no?
Oh, my God.
Birdhouse is yes or no?
Okay.
Quick poll. You got 30 seconds.
It's going to be the same as that
No, we got a minute.
That's going to be the same results as that Vision movie you talked about.
Do you think my birdhouses would be popular at the NFL draft? Yes or no?
Okay.
That's all I'm asking.
Just keep the numbers up there. That movie that you said everybody watched, 95% no. Mm-hmm. So that's the same thing with birdhouses at the NFL draft.
I don't think
it is. And birdhouses that look like an outhouse.
Yeah.
That have absolutely nothing to do with... That's not something we have here in Green Bay.
It's part of our heritage, Jim.
Your heritage.
You don't think there were outhouses in Green Bay years ago?
No, I'm just saying...
Where they used to go?
Okay, when Nugani hosts the NFL draft, I think you should do it.
Yes, 60% so far. I bet you had an outhouse in your backyard.
I don't know.
I'll bet you should dig that up. You could find a lot of old dig bottles up, and stuff yeah. there. I'm serious.
Oh, God,
I'll do it.
John.
I will do it.
We had the first car. I know that.
All right. So we're hard. Out of time. Hey, thanks for being here, everybody. Back in tomorrow morning. Mino and the Mayor. See ya. I throw myself in.